Hey guys, JB here, the Wolf of Wall Street in the Wolf's Den for another special solo podcast where I'm going to air my opinions about things that are going on in the world, political and otherwise. And by the way, you know, political, business, sales, you know, there's a crossover on everything because what's happening right now is politics is driving what's happening in the business world because politicians, governments around the world are instituting lockdowns and semi-scientific targeting of certain industries where, you know, supposedly COVID spreads. Like, okay, so you can go in and have fun at a strip club, hey, I'm all for that, don't get me wrong, but you can't eat at a restaurant outside. You can walk into an indoor mall and shop in stores inside, but you can't sit outside at a table with three people in your family, even though every single study that I've seen so far says that it does not spread COVID when people eat in restaurants, indoors or outdoors. It's not a source of spread. So why is the government targeting certain industries? Why are they driving certain business owners out of business when there is no direct scientific proof that these measures even work? And you hear this like insane bullshit out of the mouths of politicians, like, for example, Cuomo, for instance, New York governor. Like, this guy made colossal blunders in the early days of COVID, allowing infected patients, older patients, to enter nursing homes and spread it. And the deaths in these nursing homes was a staggering, staggering level because they allowed people that had COVID to go back into nursing homes. And this guy's being hailed as like he did a great job at managing COVID. It's like there's almost like a detachment from reality. It's like politicians nowadays, Gavin Newsom in the state where I am, it's like he's doing things and then making laws, instituting policy, then contradicting it with his own actions and like just flaunting it like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. Oops, no big deal. Like closing down other wineries and his winery stays open. There's a woman with a restaurant who's like closed down and she's watching a movie set that has like food being served on the set, like functioning right by our shuttered restaurant. So a woman who's been in business for many, many years has like literally lost her livelihood and she's watching another industry actively work right outside her front door. Yet she can't have people sitting outside her restaurant eating her food. What is this about? And who gives politicians the right to do this, to make these arbitrary, idiotic decisions that are dramatically impacting people's lives? Who gives them power? Well, we do, I guess. But what happens is that, you know, we grant some level of power when we vote for people in elections, but then the politicians start slowly overstepping and overstepping, saying it's an emergency order. These are extreme times. But I remember very distinctly, I'm sure you do, about it's just 2 weeks of lockdowns to slow the curve, to flatten the curve, right? That was back in when? March. Now we're in December and they're talking about relocking stuff down, reinstituting, you know, curfews and you know, everything short of like arresting people for walking out of their houses. And here's the deal. This virus has a mind of its own, has a life cycle of its own. I've watched, you know, my girlfriend, she's from Argentina, right? And that government, the fatal mistake they made, I'm sure they had good intentions. Like they locked their country down too early. Now, granted, you know, in the beginning, we didn't know. So, okay, fair enough. You don't know what the story is. You don't know how deadly it is. We all have heard stories about the Spanish flu of 1919, right? Or 1918, where people, you know, died in the street by the tens of millions, right? So I understand how they locked down in the beginning. Good intentions, right? And I remember, you know, my girlfriend, she'd be talking to a friend. She was with me in the United States at the time. But our friends were really abiding by the lockdown. Everybody was staying home. But that was back in April and maybe early May. How long can people stay home, shuttered and locked down before you get what's called lockdown fatigue, quarantine fatigue? So what happened was, is again, people are people. They could only stay locked down inside for so long, and people began going out in Argentina. And unfortunately, when their winter hit, which is the worst time typically for these types of viruses, right? Everyone was already so sick of being locked down. They really didn't have that same stringent fortitude that kept people, you know, in their houses, right? And now in the worst time, everyone started going out and the virus soared and many, many people in Argentina were sick. But the bottom line is this. At the end of the day, I think we're all seeing that lockdowns just don't work. They don't work. The cost-benefit ratio of a lockdown is negative. Any benefit that you might ever get from slowing the spread of this virus is being offset times 10 by the strife, both financially, emotionally, the suicides, the lack of people going to their doctors and getting checkups and all those early warnings that are not happening out with diagnosis. People are going to die early because they didn't catch certain diseases and cancers. There's so many problems associated with locking people in the house. It's an unnatural state. You cannot do that over the long haul. It just does not work. So, and if you look at companies like Japan and other countries in Asia, they didn't even lock down and their death rates were dramatically lower. Now, much of that has to do with the way their culture operates. Their culture is based on personal responsibility and that the society is more important than the individual. While in the United States and a lot of the Western world, you know, we value our freedoms and, you know, we look at any idea of, you know, of curtailing our movement or behaviors as being, you know, tyrannical. And we immediately get, you know, that's almost that knee-jerk reaction is like, I want to not follow these orders or directions because I'm a free man, I'm a free woman, and I don't believe that the government should tell me when I should leave my house, when I should stay home. So in the Western world, we sort of have a knee-jerk reaction against lockdowns, while in Asia, parts of Asia, they're just more prone to put masks on, and I don't believe masks work, by the way, but, you know, socially distance, wash hands. When people are sick there, they're very, very careful. That's in their culture. And I actually spoke to an Asian person last night. He was telling me that, like, you know, when someone is not feeling well, they'll immediately put a mask on, right, to try, and they'll put an N95, a real mask that actually works, or a KN95, not these ridiculous pieces of cloth that do nothing. So a real mask worn properly absolutely does slow the spread of a virus. But the bottom line is that I think we're all seeing that I know we all tried. I mean, everybody tried to lock down. Everyone gave it the old college try here in the U.S. It doesn't work. You can't keep people locked down forever. So now lockdown fatigue is done. People, I mean, there's a lockdown in L.A. No one is locked down. The only people who are suffering right now are the restaurant owners. They're getting destroyed because they have licenses to sell liquor so they can be shut down if they try to open. But all the other businesses are open. Everybody is out in the street. Streets are crowded. Highways are packed again. No one is locked down. And yet if you look in the newspaper, it says that we're in a tier 4 lockdown here in California. No one's listening anymore. No one's listening. So all that's happening right now is that a few select businesses and business owners are getting destroyed because of this. Destroyed. Personally, I think it's time for people just to say, fuck it. I'm not listening. I'm opening up my business. I am not closing. And everyone should do it at the same time. Just a simple, nope, it's these rules are not constitutional. They don't make any sense. They're not helping anybody. And it's time for people to start just doing what they want. They want to open their business, you open your business. That's my humble opinion. And I truly believe that from the bottom of my heart, that right now to close your restaurant in California or anywhere else is idiotic. Now, I even believe they should be open for indoor dining, by the way, with appropriate social distancing. But listen, outdoor dining, do you know how much money has been spent by restaurant owners to set up their outdoor spaces so people could dine safely? Tens of thousands of dollars have been spent by restaurants buying glass partitions, all these different things they do, outdoor heaters to make it, you know, enjoyable and comfortable for people. Like, all this money was invested, and then after these restaurants complied and did the right thing, the governor still shut down their restaurants. I don't know what to even say. It's so insane and asinine and lacks any foundation in science. It's time for people to stop listening. I truly believe that. People should, I'm not one that's calling for riots in the streets, but business owners, I believe, should not listen to orders and directives like this because they make no sense. They're not helping anybody. And if everybody at the same time stops doing it, guess what? There's nothing that they can do. That's my opinion. That takes me to another point here, okay? Good news. There's a vaccine. Right? Great. There's actually two vaccines in the U.S. and others in different parts of the world, right? Two vaccines, one's by Pfizer, one by Moderna, right? And people are getting vaccinated. But of course, some of the things that are happening now in the United States are out of control. Like people now are being vaccinated, not based on like who's most susceptible to the disease, like who's going to die. Like older people, in my opinion, should be getting vaccinated first. Older people, frontline healthcare workers, people who really are at risk. They're trying to institute politics and racial bias. Certain like races should get this more because they're underprivileged. I mean, they're introducing race into the equation here, not who needs it most. And I just don't get it. To me, like, it's just some things are so stupid and so obvious that when you hear them, they just infuriate you. I have to believe that most people that are listening to this, you're infuriated by what you're reading in the newspaper every day and what you're reading online. You must be infuriated, right? You're hearing about a new stimulus bill that was passed here, $900 billion. So the average taxpayer gets, what, $600? Maybe a few hundred more for unemployment. And then some extra money, a few hundred for your child, right? And yet we hear about, I have some numbers here. This is just a couple of numbers my staff pulled together, right? You ready for this insanity? Listen to this. In this same bill, the Sudan is getting $700 million to Sudan, $135 million for Burma, $130 million to Nepal. Our people are getting $600 a one-time check and another $600 if you have a child. So we get $600, the taxpayers who fund this, we get $600. And Nepal, love you in Nepal and everything, but hey, you know, fair is fair. So Sudan gets $700 million, Nepal gets $130 and Burma gets $135 million. And like the Kennedy Center for like performing arts, I think they got another $10, $20 million. Like they're actually giving money to museums right now, like all the little pet projects in Washington, D.C. for the cultural arts. Like, how is this possible? How is this allowed to happen? How do our politicians do this and think that it's okay? I guess the problem is that we, you know, what is the recourse? What recourse do we really have? It's difficult to, like, you know, recall someone and vote them out. That's a slow cycle. So I guess the politicians feel safe, like Gavin Newsom. There's a massive movement right now to recall him, right? That people want him to be recalled. They want to like lose his job as the governor. They think he's done that crappy a job at managing the whole virus situation. They want him out. They want to recall him. But that's, again, a slow process, almost like a Hail Mary pass, right? What can be done? Something is fundamentally wrong when we, the taxpayers, are getting $600. I'm not getting anything. That's okay, by the way, because I'm over the income bracket. But you get $600 if you have a child, 11 weeks of bonus unemployment, $300 per week, and the foreign governments are getting $700 million, $135 and $130. How the fuck is that possible? How is that justified? Why are they doing that? Because we have so much extra money here. We have a budget deficit in the trillions and trillions, like $20 trillion budget deficits. It's not like the U.S. is swimming in money. The U.S. is dead, broken, bankrupt. But if you want to look at the balance sheet of the U.S., the only reason we're able to get away with it is because we are the world's reserve currency. We're like the best of the bad currencies. So because we can keep printing money, we get away with this ridiculous fiscal irresponsibility. Now, in this latest bill is also a renewed PPP program, the Payroll Protection Plan, which I think is great, right? And, you know, for me, it really helped me. Well, that's where business owners get grants to keep your employers, your employees working, right? And, you know, I took that and hired a lot of people, and that's a great thing as long as it goes to smaller companies. But again, watch what happened. Last time when the PPPs came out, you know who got most of the money? Large companies, the biggest companies who didn't need it. And the banks prioritized their biggest clients. So the people that had the ability to borrow money and get money elsewhere, they didn't need the money. They were the ones that got the bulk of the money. And the little guy, which by the way, I'm one of them. I'm an independent business owner. I got mine, but I was like in the third round. The people who didn't need it got it first. There's something so wrong with the government. There's something so wrong right now. I know you feel it. Whether you're on the left or the right, you have to be feeling what I'm feeling. That there's something, there's a glitch in the matrix. That this is not the way it's supposed to be. I start to wonder, like, is a two-party system really workable? Is that the problem? I wonder. Because what's happening right now is that, you know, this package is, I think, what, 6 or 7 months late? Why is it late? It's late because Nancy Pelosi, the head of that, the Speaker of the House, she on purpose, and she said this out loud, by the way. She's not denying it. Oh, we delayed this because we wanted Trump to look bad. So all of the people, 300 million plus people, were held hostage because Nancy Pelosi wanted to make Trump look bad. So if you're a Democrat, do you feel good about that? If that was right, you were hurt by it just as much. There has to be a different paradigm here for politicians. Politicians need to be held accountable. You know, I made some mistakes when I was in my 20s, and you all know that, and I went to jail. And sometimes I used to feel like, well, you know, I committed some crimes. I did some bad stuff. And you know what? These days, I'm feeling like I feel like I don't deserve to go to jail. You know why? Because, yeah, I committed crimes, but these people are world-class arch criminals in politics. They're like arch criminals. It's like day in and day out. Not all of them. There's some really great ones in there, but I see so many and they're just incredibly, hopelessly corrupt. Like hopelessly corrupt. A great part of the mainstream media, hopelessly corrupt. So what do we do? I wish I had the answer. I really do. I wish I had the answer, but I can tell you where it starts. It starts by the people making noise. The people have to stop taking the shit on the, you're saying, oh, we'll take the shit and we'll just move on. Because you know what it is? It's almost because we're basically a very successful country altogether. We have a high standard of living. So we're like, well, we don't want to lose what we have. But you know what? If you push people too far, and especially if you push them into poverty, well, guess what? People stop being polite. The pleasantries will fall away. And people will start getting very loud and unruly. You know, why is it, you know, Black Lives Matter? Why were they so aggressive out in the street, making noise, burning down buildings, you know, literally committing violence in the street? You know why? Because to them, and I get it, they're like disenfranchised. I'm not saying it's not justified in my opinion. It's crazy and insane. But I understand why it happened, because they're like basically at the bottom saying, the status quo ain't all right. The status quo is not working for me. So they don't give a shit. They will create blood in the streets and mayhem because they want the change. What's happening, the people who are actually in the status quo, the traditional establishment, we try to play by the rules and we're all quiet and we fold our hands and we're good little boys and girls, right? And we watch while the politicians and the government rakes us over the coal and sells the company down the river to China. How is that possible? How can we allow this to happen? How can we sit back and watch our country be sold down the river to a foreign government? That's what's happening, guys. There is this struggle, this global struggle. I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's not about Republicans and Democrats, blacks, whites, this race, that race. There's nothing to do with that at all. We've been led to believe that by the mainstream media because they want to keep us divided and they want to keep us hating each other. Because then the people who really are up to no good, they can do what they want because there's all the infighting. What this is really about, it's about globalists versus nationalists. People who want globalism, want one world government. I don't mean that. I don't mean one world government in a way like a conspiracy thing, like, oh, there's a secret cabal of. I don't mean that. What I'm saying is they want one world where, like, goods and services and investments can flow across seamlessly across countries, and where big multinational corporations can easily sell their products all over the world and vice versa. In other words, who do you think benefits most from globalism? The rich people, the ultra rich, the biggest corporations, those are the ones that reap the rewards of globalism. The little guy gets destroyed. Destroyed. It's the average businessman, the entrepreneur, they get destroyed. The average worker whose job gets gutted out because it was sold out to China and Mexico, but both by NAFTA in the 90s, which literally gutted part of the manufacturing sector, and also when things were shipped off to China, all the manufacturing. That's globalist agenda. Banking, globalism. Bankers make a fortune through globalism. All the, why do you think J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs? I get it. I understand. I'm not saying they're even evil. They're global. This is their agenda. I'm not even saying it's criminal. What I'm saying is it's destroying the little guy. That's the nationals, the people that say, hey, I'm an American, America first. I love everybody else. But, you know, we have our own country and we have to come first. I don't think it's mutually exclusive to be a nationalist and to be a great person that loves the world and wants the world. Yeah, we should help other people out too, but America first. China first if you're Chinese. Russia first if you're Russian. Right? Italy first if you're Italian. England first if you're... What's wrong with that? Just because it's England first if you're English doesn't mean that you can't love everybody else and also help out around the world. But we have national identities, we have histories, we have traditions, and we have our own self-national interest that must come first. And what's happening is there's a globalist agenda out there that's, I understand it. It's incredibly lucrative for these big money center banks. It's unbelievably lucrative. Why do you think that in the last year, a few people have achieved levels of net worth that would just seem impossible, like a Bezos, Jeff Bezos, or Zuckerberg, or Elon Musk? And I love Elon Musk, by the way, but why is that? Well, in a world, in a global world where capital flows like that all over and goods and services, people, wealth gets concentrated in the hands of a few people. That's what ends up happening. Wealth gets concentrated in fewer and fewer people at the top. That's the result. And people like myself who are in the, you know, I'm wealthy. I'm not a billionaire, okay? But people like myself will always do fine. But the wealth that's being stripped is not from me. It's being stripped from the little guy, from the person that's out there eking out a living for their family, making $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000 a year in the United States, maybe $80,000 combined with your spouse, and whatever the equivalent of that number is in your country. Those people are getting gutted. It's getting harder and harder every day for those people to make ends meet. And they know that something's not right. They feel it. They might not understand the whole globalist agenda, but they're saying, why is this happening? Why does it seem that my government is against me? Why does it seem like my government is selling me down the river? Why? I'll tell you why. Because it's honestly, it's bought, the government is owned by the globalists. It is. It's funded by globalists. The amount of money that was spent in the election by people that are promoting a globalist agenda was absolutely staggering. Why do you think they suppressed all the bad news about Biden with his son? Why do you think all of a sudden now the election's over? Oh, suddenly it's in the mainstream media. Hi, Hunter Biden. Why? Because Biden is part of the globalist agenda. He is. He's pro, you know, rest of the world, open it up, okay? He's going to be very friendly with China. And by the way, I love China as a country. I think China, there's nothing wrong with China. They're a peaceful country. Tell me the last country China attacked. Like, China's not like a bad place. But listen, I'm an American, all right? And China is a massive competitor economically, and they want to dominate the world. And I don't blame them. It's like, I love when the United States says, oh, when China wants to dominate the world, well, yeah. Because we dominate the world, like an America, and like you Americans, you want to dominate. I'm an American. We want to dominate the world. Like, it's not evil that China wants to dominate the world. China is not a vicious country. They're just very shrewd. And they, you know, have a very hardworking, diligent populace. And, you know, we say, oh, the Chinese have, you know, there's no civil rights there and no freedom of speech. We don't have freedom of speech here in the U.S. We can't say what we want anymore. Maybe the government won't throw us in jail, but the platforms, Facebook and Google, will shut us down. We can't say what we want anymore. I never thought I would say that, but the United States no longer has freedom of speech. We just don't have it. If there's certain things I could say right now, and my account would get shut down. So I can't say them. Now, I get, I think, a little bit more latitude than most people. I think because I don't go too extreme on either side, but I'm always careful. I know there's certain things that I can say that they'll just shut my platform down. Done. So how are we any better than China? We're not. It's time for the U.S. to stop pretending we have any moral high ground for anything, because we don't. We're no better, no worse than any place else. And what I just saw happen in the last couple of months with this election, the last, it's been, 6 weeks now? I'm done. I'm like, all right, any thoughts I had that we live in a fair country, in a country that there's actually a rule of law, I've completely lost faith. As of now, I have no more faith left. I don't. I truly am convinced right now that the media has been completely corrupted. Our political system is corrupted. Our judges have been corrupted. There is no more fair play in the United States anymore. Does that mean I'm not going to pay my taxes and I'm going to break the law? No, I'm going to pay my taxes. I'm going to play the game still. But in my heart of hearts, I no longer believe we live in a free country, and I don't believe we live in a fair country. I think many people would say, Jordan, you're naive. It hasn't been that way for 50 years or 30 years. But I believe it was. I believe in the last 10 years, it's taken this terrible, terrible turn for the worse. We've lost our basic freedoms that we all cherished, and we watched them being taken away, and we did nothing. And I say, well, Jordan, why don't you do something? Good question. And as I said, I think the answer is because, you know what, when you're doing well and you don't have, and you have a lot to lose, well, you're not going to be the person marching in the street and burning stuff down. Like BLM, they're on the bottom. I get it. It makes sense to me. Like when I watch them rioting and breaking down store windows and looting and creating mayhem, I had a very good friend of mine. He's like, you know, I'm voting for Biden. I'm like, why are you voting for Biden? You know, you just don't seem like, you know, economically that, you know, that would be a smart move. He goes, no, I'm not a Democrat. I just can't take it anymore. They wore me down. I just want peace. I was like, wow, that's really terrible. Like that's like the worst reason to vote for someone, because so they won. So they hassled you enough. They created enough social unrest in the streets. You don't feel safe anymore. So now it's like, so the terrorists win. I'm not saying that BLM a terrorist, but that's the equivalent here in the analogy. The terrorists win, so they riot in the streets, and now you're going to vote because you just want to give them their way. I don't believe you can really negotiate with terrorists, so to speak. And again, I'm not saying that BLM is terrorists, because I don't believe they are. But the analogy is very clear there, that when people go out and create massive social unrest within a country, right, a lot of people say, you know what, all right, forget it. My life is good. I'm doing well. And they do have some righteous wrath, because there are some massive inequalities racially. There were in the past. Okay. I think it's gotten much better now. Okay. But the point is there are reasons for righteous anger. I don't believe it was justified what happened with burning stuff down. And what I saw was completely over the top. And you know, I don't believe it was right in any way, shape, or form. But the point is, for someone to say, I'm just going to vote for Biden now because I just want peace. Wow. That's like what they won. And I guess many people, I think the election was completely rigged and stolen. I'm sure many people did feel that way and probably either didn't vote or voted for Biden because of that. Either way, what do we do now as individuals in a country that's been completely corrupted, bankrupted? We bankrupt the country, right? So we have a massive budget deficit. We have dishonest politicians permeating every level of government. Now, there's some politicians who I really love and respect, like Dan Crenshaw. There's a few that I really believe, like, you know, are these beacons of light. Just a few out there. Not many, but there are a few good ones out there. But what do we do? What do you do? Because I just gave you this doom and gloom like it's over, right? Well, I believe that even though it is doom and gloom for our country, I believe our country is on a massive decline now. And I think it's basically just a matter of time until China takes over as the dominant economic power. I believe the U.S. is done. I believe it's done. I thought if Trump stayed in power, I believe we had a shot. I think it's over now. Unless something radical happens in the next few weeks and something shocking happens, it's over. I really believe that. But that doesn't mean that you can't thrive in any situation. And that's the point I really want to make today, is that in spite of all this insanity, corruption, incompetence, poor decision making, whether it's with locking people down for months and months and months at a time. Poor decisions of like in nursing homes that killed thousands of older people that really did not need to die. Giving vaccines to people who don't need them because of a certain racial issue, like, you know, just to be politically correct. All this stupidity on top of stupidity. To give $1 billion or whatever the actual number is out to foreign countries right now, like Burma or whatever it is, right? Sudan, because we can feel good about ourselves. While we have a budget deficit of over $20 trillion and we can't pay our own bills, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. That's just dumb on top of dumb. But in spite of all that, despite all that, you can still become massively successful if you're not. And if you already are successful, you can stay that course and maintain an amazing lifestyle and live a great life. But the first step is to realize, you have to almost like disconnect from the insanity. Like, I'm at a certain point right now where I believe I watched my government completely sell out. I watched the Supreme Court sell out. I watched everything sell out. And I almost was in utter shock watching this happen. Like, all this massive evidence of fraud in an election. Massive evidence. To me, I believe it was massive. And I've watched it, like, people saying, oh, there was no fraud. And I don't get it. It's like I'm in the Twilight Zone. Where, like, what is true is not true, and what's not true is true. Like, it's like upside down day. It's like, really, right? It's like opposite day, right? But you know what? There's still massive opportunity for you to make money and for your family to thrive and have a great life. Even in the poorest countries, I travel all over the world. There's always very successful people in every country. So it's up to you. The ball's in your court. I don't think that we can change the political system anymore. I think it's game over. Sorry. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. And people say, oh, Jordan, how can you say that out loud? I'm saying it. I've watched things happen in the last month that I just thought I would never see happen. I don't know what to do. But what I do know is that I can still make a lot of money, and so can you. And that's what you need to focus on in 2021. Don't focus on the political bullshit. Don't focus on the negatives. Don't focus on the virus. Focus on securing your financial future. Working hard. Educating yourself. Taking calculated risks. Not settling for anything but absolute excellence in your life. Maintaining the highest standards. That's what you can do. Don't allow this insanity and stupidity that permeates literally every part of our government right now. Don't let that stop you from living an amazing life, because these two are not linked together. Our country can fall. Our government can give money away to people when they don't even have it. They can make terrible decisions about lockdowns and vaccines, but you can always be successful. You don't need the government to make good decisions for you to succeed and to have a wonderful life and provide it for you, yourself, and your family. That's the point. Things are screwed up, no doubt. The United States has lost its way and probably lost its soul. But that doesn't mean you can't have an amazing life. And that's my message. So think about that. At some point, you got to say, yup, I get it. It sucks. But you know what? Who cares? Doesn't matter. All of those things can be true, and you can kick financial ass twice as much as you did last year. There's going to be this pop that comes out. You know, after this is going to end soon, right? There's a vaccine. This is where it's going to end. And there's going to be an economic boom that is going to propel people that are willing to take action and become part of this boom. It's not going to bail the country out. The U.S. is still going to go on its inevitable decline. Doesn't matter. But there's going to be opportunity on top of opportunity. And all you have to do is be willing to take advantage of it. So don't let any of the political unrest, any of the negativity, the globalists, the nationalists, it's all, I'm telling you, yeah, it's all there. Doesn't matter. If you are willing to take matters into your own hands, meaning as an entrepreneur, as a success-oriented person, none of it matters. There's always opportunity in every part of the world, in every government, no matter how screwed up it is, there's always opportunity for the people within that country to succeed and lift themselves up and take their family and their community along for the ride. Bottom line. So I love you all. I want to wish you all a happy new year. So while my message is negative for the United States and what's going on here, it's positive for you. Just don't link the two together. Things could be screwed up here and you can succeed. Be the shining star in a sea of shit. That's my message. I love you all. Take care.